Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا الصلاة. Hayya al-falah. Hayya al-falah. As-salatu khairun min an-naum. As-salatu khairun min an-naum. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. A'udhu billahi من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
آمين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. And once again, Ramadan Mubarak. This is your brother, Abdul Mufakir Muhammad, welcoming you to the Ummah Reflects, our podcast where we strive to help the believers every morning to get off to a good start during the month of Ramadan. We'd like to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule to join us this morning. And we pray that Allah will guide the words of our guest speaker and aid us all as we strive to grow and develop into what we would call taqwa or God consciousness. All brothers and sisters, we were blessed yesterday to hear from our high school student, Sister Rihanna Blackman, who gave a report, an intense report on the atrocities in Palestine, informing us of a six-year-old girl trapped in a car surrounded by the bodies of her dead relatives in the Gaza Strip. Our beloved sister said that she said that the families were trying to relocate to the safe zone told to them by Israel. And she said, for many of the children, it is an atrocity because first the families flee their homes, and then they seek refuge in overcrowded shelters. And in these shelters, access to the basic necessities is limited. She said that the Israeli onslaught against Gaza has left horrifying stories of millions suffering, especially among the children, who have been surrounded by death. Dear family, please go back and re-listen to the words of our beloved sister, Sister Rihanna Blackman. We thank Allah for her words with us yesterday, and we thank Allah for our guest speaker this morning. And to take us further into our program, we're happy to hear our beloved brother, Brother Abdul Akbar Muhammad. Brother Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First, I want to thank Allah for blessing me to be on this line and to be able to talk to the believers, and I've been off it for a while, but I thank Allah that He blessed me to be able to come back. I want to thank our leader, Minister Farrakhan, for the work that he's done over the years. And I was blessed to do some reading today, and I was reading about the Muslims in Vermont and New Hampshire. There were some Muslims, they were Lebanese, and they picked up on the University of Islam. We didn't tell him to name the book like that or anything, but he was on it, and I must say that he showed the respect and love of Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. And what we have been able to do without foreign help or anything. But I thank Allah that I'm back. I thank Allah to be able to hear the brothers and sisters who faithfully listen to this program and the work that Anissa Islam and the staff has done. So I feel good about that. I say this, I know everybody, they say this is Akbar's joke. His joke is, I won't be long. So I'm going to try to hold on to that. I want to mention that the Muslims throughout the world are suffering from the pain of the death and the destruction of their homeland and their people. And we ask Allah to show us the way. We ask Allah to help us. We ask Allah to make it easy. Nobody promised that it would be easy, but make it easy on the Muslims who are suffering. And they're not just suffering in Palestine, but they're suffering throughout the world. The pain of seeing young Muslims dying in the street, or young Muslims starving. So I thank Allah that we are here, and many couldn't cross this road. They just did not make it, but we are here. I want to do a special thanks to the Brother Salam and all of the brothers who stood in. And I want to give a special thank to Brother Takir, and he's right on it. His voice is good. And I want to give a special thanks to Minister Farrakhan and his family. And they have made it easy for a lot of Muslims that wouldn't be able to make this step. I want to try to be brief about this. The Muslims in the early days, a lot of Muslims in the Nation of Islam suffered trying to bring the message to the people. And they worked hard. They were kind to people. They gave people gifts. And this came from the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, not only in America, but throughout the world. And we are grateful for that. We're grateful for the Muslims that during the Ramadan who have given gifts, who make prayers. It's a beautiful sight to see and behold when people are suffering. Other people come quickly to their call to help them to continue. I also would like to ask permission of our sister Nisa, and she has done a good job. It had not been easy for her at all, but she stays right there with the brothers and sisters on this Ramadan prayer line. It has meant a lot to people who couldn't get to a prayer line. It means a lot to people who need Muslims to talk to. And we have provided that. And we must keep it going. Don't get weary. This is a beautiful prayer line that represents the heart and soul of the Muslims in America who were not born as Muslims, but they had an opportunity. And so we thank Brother Quick, Abdullah Quick, who was on the line with us in the last few years. I thank Allah that he's been able to make it back and to be with us. And when we were, you know, I met him in South Africa and Toronto, Canada, and other places. But I thank Allah for him. And he came right back in, ready to go and to continue to carry this message. I'd like to also thank the mothers and the wives who get up early in the morning and make a way for us to bring this broadcast to you. So I thank you very much, Brother Quick, Abdullah Quick, I thank you. I thank you for taking time. I thank you for sharing the message. And by all means, call or write. And if you have a question, if you have something that you would like to see, you can call Sister Nisa Islam, and she would facilitate that. So I thank you very much. I want to turn it back over to Sister Nisa Islam, and she will take you to the next phase of the program. Thank you again. I'm humbled to be back on this line and to talk to the brothers and sisters. And may Allah bless us with a good day of fasting during these days of Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Assalamu alaikum again from me. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness Muhammad is his messenger. Thank you, Brother Akbar, because you have decades of service to our people, and we love you dearly, and we welcome you any and every morning you can join us. So this morning, we have a throwback to 2015 with Imam Abdullah Quick, who Brother Akbar talked about. They are very good friends. And so here we go. Imam Abdullah Quick, from 2015.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala khatib al anbiya wa mursaleen nabiyyana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barak wa sallam. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be constantly showered upon all of the great prophets, especially our Prophet Muhammad and the believers forever. I begin with the greeting words of the righteous. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah Azza wa Jal for this great opportunity. And I pray that Allah would bless my brother Abdul Akbar of Muhammad, strengthen him and strengthen the believers and the leader of the Nation of Islam and all of the people who are striving to bring about justice in the land and to bring about unity and peace. This time of Ramadan is a very sacred, special time for the Muslims. And really, when we look at history, we find that Ramadan has been a crucial time for the changing of the world. Today in the world, there is great crisis. There are major floods, earthquakes, heat waves. There are major social upheavals that are going on. People seem to be confused, and then Ramadan comes along. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the second chapter of the Quran, in verse 185, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Ramadan, شهر رمضان, the month of Ramadan, is that time in which the Quran was revealed as a guidance to humanity and as clear evidence from the guidance and from the Furqan, which separates truth from falsehood. And so this is the time of the revealing of the Quran. This is the time when the believers especially would focus on the book of Allah. They would focus upon the revelation. And they would look around them, and through their focusing on the revelation and the fasting that they were involved in, they received clear evidence, clear guidance, and they receive this ability to separate truth from falsehood. When we look at the fast today, especially in the northern countries, we find that many people would look at the believers and say, you know, how can you fast when this is the summer solstice? These are the longest possible days that you can fast in, and abstaining from food and drink completely for this long period of time seems very strange. But when you look at the concept of fasting, which is called imsak in Arabic, which is abstinence, that means you stay away from something. People in many different walks of life are involved in imsak. There are some people who abstain or they stay away from different foods for medical reasons. You have somebody who is struck with diabetes, and so he avoids sugar and carbohydrates. You have other people who have allergies, and so they avoid peanuts. They stay away from the hair of dogs and cats. And so they will literally abstain. They will read the package of a food product to make sure that they are not eating or taking in that substance. And so they do imsak. There are other people who abstain or stay away from things for social reasons. Today, with the styles becoming so tight that the pants, it looks as though you're painting the pants on your leg. You need to be very thin, especially in your legs. And so there are people who literally stay away from food for social reasons. And in some cases, they develop what they call anorexia, where they will eat food and then they will throw it up because they want to be thin, that they want to be very stylish. So they are literally avoiding food for social reasons. There are other people who fast for political reasons. And this is called a hunger strike. And you will see it especially in the prison facilities around the world, that people are fasting. The famous Irish Republican Army fasts, the Palestinian fasts. And so the people will go on a hunger strike in order to have their voice heard. And so by not eating food, by abstaining from food, they are able to gain the attention of the authorities. And for political reasons, they avoid the eating and drinking. There are other people who avoid eating and drinking in order to kill their desires. And you find in many great religions, they believe that by killing your desires, that you're actually bettering yourself and you're coming closer to God. But in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the second chapter of the Quran, verse 183, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed on those who came before you in order that you would gain God consciousness, taqwa. The word is taqwa. So the reason why Muslims are fasting are not for social reasons, not for political reasons. It is not because we have an allergy. It is not to as a revolution, a hunger strike, but we are fasting to gain the consciousness of Allah. We are fasting in order to come closer to the Creator, to have this consciousness which will help us in the world. And so the great scholars throughout the ages have looked into this word taqwa. This is the essence of the fast. What are the fruits of taqwa? What are the benefits? What are the real essence of the reason why we are going through this exercise in the month of Ramadan? in the chapter of the Quran called Anfal, the spoils of war, in the 29th verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تتقوا الله يجعل لكم فرقانا ويكفر عنكم سيئاتكم ويغفر لكم والله ذو فضل عظيم. O you who believe, if you have taqwa, if you have the consciousness of Allah, then Allah will make a criterion for you, furqan, and He will release you of your sins and forgive you, and Allah is the Lord of great bounty. And so in this verse, the Creator tells us that the believers, when you gain the consciousness, when you gain this taqwa, when you raise your status and your relationship with the Creator, Allah will give you a criteria. He will give you a furqan. He'll forgive you of your sins. And so this furqan is one of the fruits of the month of Ramadan. What is the furqan? As a fasting person, we are controlling ourselves, holding our desires, but we're living in the world. We go to work, we go to school, we function, and we're not eating food. And we look at the people who are eating food, who are controlled by their desires, and we have a completely different consciousness. We have a different way of looking at things. The angels are described as beings created from light. They do not have desires. They do not eat food and have sexual desires like human beings and animals. And so we are in a type of angelic state during the month of Ramadan, and this is the consciousness. One of the great imams, Imam Shawkani from the Yemen, he said that this furqan also will give you thabat al-qulub wa quwwat al-basa'i wa husn al-hidayah. That this criteria that you gain from taqwa, which comes from Ramadan, it will strengthen your hearts. It will give you insight into affairs around you, and it will give you the best of guidance. And that is really what we are in need of today, as the world is going through tremendous political changes, especially in America now, where the racial tensions have reached epic proportions, where Islamophobia is rising in the land, where there's confusion economically, confusion with the environment. This fasting will lead us to a consciousness to strengthen our hearts. And surely now our hearts must become strong in order to go forward to the challenges that are facing us. We also need insight. Insight is the ability not to look at things from the outside, but to go to the inside to really understand what is actually going on. When we look at America today, we see the symbols of the flags. We see the symbols of different names, but that's not what's really going on. In essence, it is the racism. It is the economic exploitation. It is the hatred. That is what has to change. And so this taqwa will give us this consciousness, and it will also give us the best of guidance. And we are in need of guidance from God in this holy month. Al-Furqan, the criteria, also will give us an escape from everything that we fear. Because once we have the consciousness of God, then the earthly things no longer will put fear into our hearts. And that is crucial at this point in time, that our hearts become clear, that the fear is taken out of us. And we see psychologically, especially in the case of the Native Americans and Hispanic Americans, and especially the Black Americans, Afro-Americans, fear has been put into us. Fear of the system. Fear of the economic power, psychological fear. And when a person is controlled psychologically, when they are controlled by fear, you can take them out of slavery, but they're still a slave. They're a slave to the economy. They're a slave to the fashion. They're a slave to liquor. They're a slave to drugs. They're a slave to sexuality. They're a slave to eating. Ramadan will change that consciousness. And so this is a major opportunity for the Muslims to raise their status, to gain this consciousness, to come close to the Creator, and to unite themselves with other people, because it's not enough just to fast and keep it to yourself. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions, during the fast, they were more active than outside of the fast. You would think that a person would just be tired and sleep all day, but they were actually energized by the fast. And that is the energy that we need today, to go into the streets, to go to the people, to show them, you know, the way of the last prophet, to give the guidance and to unite with those who are standing for justice, who are standing for equality, standing for peace, and standing for a new world. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bless us and bless our children, and especially this younger generation, to be part of that new world, a world which is based upon peace, justice, righteousness, and not hatred and racism. And I leave you with these words, and I ask Almighty God, the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bless you, to bless me, to bless our children, to bring peace and justice to the land, and give strength to the younger generation to take their Islam, to take whatever religion they have, to establish this justice in the land and to establish this peace. I leave you with these thoughts, and I leave you in peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, brother Imam. Thank you. Thank you, brother Abdullah. Imam Abdullah, for your words with us. I think that was a great throwback. Great words. All praises are due to Allah. We will now have our Ummah report that speaks of Ramadan in the Congo. Brother Shahid.
Some 500 displaced Muslims fleeing attacks by M23 rebels now live in the Munigi camp in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The front line is located about 10 kilometers away. Their local imam, Ali Asani Mukamba, acknowledges that observing Ramadan in an environment where access to food and water is severely limited is tough. The Muslim is used to spending Ramadan in his house, but today Ramadan takes place in the life of a displaced person. It is very hard to accept such a situation. It's really very hard, and you watch it helplessly. We can't do anything, and it's even difficult to talk about it. To eat the iftar meal, which breaks their fast, the internally displaced only have meager rations. One of the elders in the camp fled his village after an attack by M23 fighters in November. I have a message for the international community. Let them intervene so that we can go home. Let them tell the M23 to withdraw and Kagame to withdraw the soldiers, because here we are suffering a lot. We want to go back to cultivating our fields. Here, when a child cries, we have nothing to feed him. The rebels took up arms again in late 2021. The first internally displaced Muslims in Munigi arrived 1 year ago. Further south, in the provincial capital Goma, the deputy chief in charge of the Muslim community of North Kivu aims to show solidarity. The displaced persons are obliged to fast, as it is an obligation of God. They are obliged to fast despite the circumstances of the war. We who are here in the city of Goma, in the province of North Kivu, we are supposed to meet people so that we can assist them during this month of Ramadan. The DRC is the largest internal displacement crisis in Africa, with 5.8 million people internally displaced, according to the UN. Step into Wick Studio.
Wow. All praise due to Allah. That is a powerful Ummah report from Ramadan and those that are displaced in the Congo. We will now have the fast sign from our sister Nisa Islam. Sister Nisa.
Yes, sir. Our fast fact of the day is free yourself from external validation. Let me explain. While it is a human need to seek validation, where should that validation come from? We are social beings. We do not live on islands unto ourselves, but where are we seeking validation from? Are we only seeking validation from social media? Are we posting the ins and outs of our lives, hoping and wishing for the right response to the next big thing happening? Are we commenting on others' lives at their worst moment to be the one who can say the most damning thing? Are we a social media influencer in the wrong direction of life? Is our life better because of a certain number of likes or a certain number of friends? Do we do certain things for the pleasure of man? I have breaking news for some. Allah is really the only one to validate our lives. Allow me to repeat that. Allah is the only one to validate our life. People will disappoint us, but never Allah. The Creator validates in so many more ways than His creations ever could. No one can validate you like Allah. You may not feel that way because you think your relationship with God is not that strong. You may think, my relationship is so shaky. Why would Allah validate me? I have a better relationship with someone else, with so-and-so. I get more validation from so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and all these people who like my pages or who like my ID. Well, that may seem important, but it really doesn't matter. Those things are temporary. Allah has promised the believer success, and Allah never breaks a promise. The believers must win. That's what Allah tells us in the Quran. Udbillah min shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The believers must eventually win. Those who humble themselves in their prayers, who avoid vain talk, who are active in deeds of charity. Surah 23, ayah 1 through 4. That book, Quran, there is no doubt in it. Those words are directly from Allah, and guess what? He is talking to you. Yes, that's right. He's talking to you, and he is talking to me. Those words are for you. They are for us, the Muslims. They may have been revealed over 1,400 years ago, but they are as relevant today as ever. Muslims, free yourself from external validation. Allah is the only validation we need. That is the fast fact of the day. Our beloved podcast has had close to 38,000 downloads this week. For real, since Monday, close to 38,000 downloads. Welcome to all our listeners from around the world, including France, Pakistan, Nigeria, Turkey, and Romania, to name a few. We thank Allah over and over for the opportunity to serve. You can listen to all of our replays by going to wherever you find podcasts. Search for Ramadan, The Ummah Reflects. You can listen to a replay on the website, The Ummah Reflects, or go to SoundCloud, where our replays go all the way back to 2013. Search for Ramadan Prayer Line, all one word. Thank you for listening. Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Nisa. Thank you for the fast fact. All praises are due to Allah. Brothers and sisters, we will be reading today. Our day is day 6, and that reading is from chapter 4, verse 148, through chapter 5, 80, verse 81. Surah 4, ayat 148, through Surah 5, ayat 81. We will ask our brother Shaheed, will he now close us with prayer? Brother Shaheed.
Assalamu alaikum. Dear Muslims, let us pray. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Our Lord, give us what is good in this world, and also what is good in the hereafter, and save us from the torment of the fire. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you, Brother Shaheed, for your prayers with us this morning. As we close, dear family, we want to thank our guest speaker on behalf of Imam Abdallah Quick and his family. We want to thank him for his beautiful words with us this morning on Ramadan. And may Allah continue to bless our brother. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, and we thank Allah for him and all that he has done and has and is doing to spread this mighty word of Islam. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, and we thank Allah for each and every one of them for what they are doing and have done in assisting and aiding the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in spreading this word of Islam. On behalf of my co-host, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Brother Jamil, Brother Shaheed, Sister Majida, and on behalf of those mighty warriors that Brother Akbar talked about, who stood up all from the 1930s all the way to now to establish Islam where we are, that we can now say La ilaha illallah. We thank Allah for each and every one of them. Let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah, Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
There is no God but Allah. Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali. Subhanallah.